Page 1041, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. You'll see there reading from verse 25. It's headed, The Parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Amen. So today, thinking and giving thanks for the Bible and those words from the passage that Pat read earlier to us. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And as we think about reading the Bible, and perhaps I trust today we might be encouraged in terms of our reading of the Bible. We've already had some encouragements. I trust that we will learn more about listening for the word of God, because we can read the Bible. And what do you have here? Well, you have 2 hard covers, and in between you have an awful lot of pages. Don't quite know. Well, 1,262 pages in this Bible, and on every page are many, I don't know, certainly hundreds of words that have been printed in black ink on paper. And it's very easy to say, well, they are just black ink words on pages. But what we do every time we open up the Bible is we are listening for the Word of God. We are listening for the Word of God. Most, if not all, of the words that are printed here, we will find elsewhere in other books. They're used by other authors telling other stories. But we believe that God, in his mercy and kindness, has brought them together. And every time we read these words, we could just be reading words. But our heart's desire, as we read, is that we might listen for and hear the word of God. And it's, I want to say, it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed that we do hear the word of God when we read the Bible. And I've been reminded even this week, it's very easy to read the Bible and not hear the word of God, but to come out with all sorts of interpretations and explanations and justifications for the way people live in their ordinary lives, in their family lives, in their political lives, and give all sorts of pronouncements, saying, well, it's based upon the Bible. The Bible says X, Y, and Z, and that justifies what I'm saying. And I want to say that just because the Bible says it doesn't mean you get to do it. Because when we read the Bible, we are listening for the Word of God. We are listening for the Word of God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean primarily this, that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. At the beginning of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews says, look, in the past, God has spoken to us in numerous different ways, through the prophets, through the kings. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And God has chosen that Jesus is his word. In other words, if we read Jesus, if we can understand what that means, if we can read Jesus or listen to Jesus or understand Jesus, then we receive the living Word of God. Now we know, and John's Gospel is explicit on this, that Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus reveals what God is like. And I've said before, you know, when people ask the question, what is God like? How can we know what God is like? Well, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And there you find in Jesus, in his life, his character, his teachings, his lifestyle, when we look at Jesus, there we have, as it were, almost a mirror image of what God the Father is like. And as we read the Bible, what we're doing is we're reading, listening, and watching for the Spirit of Jesus. That's what we're doing. Does this, as I read it, does this text, does my interpretation of what I read, my understanding, does it feel like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? Would Jesus do this? Now, a very stark example that I've encountered these last couple of weeks. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were greeted with the horrifying news of the attack on, I think it was a music concert in Israel by members of the group, of the Hamas group, terrorist group. And hundreds of people had been killed. And the more I heard about what had happened, the horror, the terror of the event increasingly sank in. Now, it's not unexpected that Israel retaliated, the Israeli government retaliated, and you know, thousands of people in Palestine have been killed as a result. Now, the number of people I've heard who, whatever they've said to me, has arisen from a Bible text, the Bible text being this, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Israel are justified in going into Gaza and killing whoever they want. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life. Now, here's the thing. When we read the Bible and we read an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life, and we say, does that sound like Jesus? Because it's Bible. The answer is no, it doesn't. Right? It doesn't sound like Jesus. Jesus said, you have heard it say. Jesus said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I, do you know what it says then? But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay? Now, some of you might be upset by me saying that, but I'm telling you, this is Christ. This is the way of Christ. And this is where, this is part of our conversion. Part of our conversion, because we bring into our faith all sorts of political and ideological views, and we struggle to align them with Christ. But that's the way of Christ. Now, so when we read the Bible, that's what we're listening for. We're listening. Does my understanding of what I've read, does my interpretation of what I've read, does it feel like, sound like, smell like the Spirit of Jesus? That's what we're seeking to do all the time, because it's about interpreting and applying the Bible. Now, I'll say more on all this as we go through. And you can ask me all sorts of questions afterwards. That'll be fun. Okay. So, if we ask the question, a question is often asked, well, what have we got in the Bible? And one of the answers that's often given is the Bible is like a library. And not quite that many books, but the Bible is a library because the Bible is 66 books, 66 distinct books, and it was written or covering a time period, what's written, of about 1,500 years. In the Old Testament, we have 39 books. In the New Testament, we have 27 distinct books of different types. And we say, well, it's a bit like a library. I mentioned that at some point, covers, as it were put on the Bible. Originally, they were separate texts. And can you imagine having to come to church, bring 66 different scrolls with you? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Palling along, and then, okay, the reading today is Isaiah 66. Okay, everybody scrolling through, trying to get to Isaiah 66. No, that's the wrong reading. And scroll it back. And that's what it was. But at some point, because of the ability we have with the printing press, we were able to put it all together. And so what we have in the pages of the Bible is something like a library. And here they all are. This is all of the Old Testament, all of the books in the Old Testament. Here's all the New Testament. They're in. I've put them in that way just so that they fit on the screen. But these first five books, they're the books of the law, the Torah. Very different from what we read here, which are the history books. And then we have the wisdom books or the poetry, different type of literature altogether. Then the prophetic books, the great prophets, are all listed there, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so on. And then we have, they're called the minor prophets, but they're only minor because they're shorter, you know. So, whereas the others are long. And so they are very different types of books, and that's what you find in a good library, lots of different types of books. And then in the New Testament, we have the Gospels. The Gospels are very different from the Acts of the Apostles, which is the story of the early church, from written by Luke. He carries on writing and says, well, this is what happens next. And then we have a whole list of letters, predominantly written by Paul, but also you will see there by Peter and John and James and Jude and so on. And then we have Revelation, that extraordinary vision at the end. And so it's perfectly adequate answer to say, well, the Bible is like a library. Lots of different books brought together, written by lots of different people over a very long period of time, but brought together because they all seem to speak to us on a common theme about the life, the character of God and how to live and follow him. Now, we read different parts of the Bible in different ways. You don't read a history book in the same way that you read a portion of poetry. You read poetry in a very different way. Some people I know don't like poetry. You know, they say, I can't get my head around it, I can't enter in. But some parts of the Bible are poetry. Some of the prophets speak in poetry at different times, and so on. So there's different types of literature there. So what is the Bible? A second answer, not just a library, but the Bible is a symphony. I don't know if you can read that music. Anybody? Beethoven's Symphony Number 3. Hum it. I mean, you know, I'm more familiar with Symphony Number 9, I think. But a symphony. Why is the Bible like a symphony? I don't know how many of you have been to hear orchestras play symphonies or concertos, different big, extended, long pieces of music in different parts, and different parts are very recognisable as being different than other parts. But it all fits together as a whole. You may not be very musical, but you may appreciate music. You may like to go and sit in the audience and hear the symphony being played. You may be in awe of what you hear. You may be inspired. At times, you may be disturbed. I've certainly listened to music at times, and I've come away just thinking, I think I'm a bit disturbed by just the music that I've heard, not the word, not any words, but just listening to the feel and the spirit of the music has sometimes disturbed me or inspired me or so on. So you don't need to read music or anything like that to appreciate a symphony. But why is the Bible like a symphony? Well, the power of a symphony is only evident when it's played. The power of a symphony is only evident when it's played. And for the musicians, the ones we appreciate, they have to practice and they perform, and we have to sit there and we listen to it. And I think that in the same way, the Bible is like a symphony, because the power of the Bible is only evident when it is lived in the Spirit of Jesus. People may not be able to read the Bible. Our friends and our neighbours may not have a Bible. They may not be able to read, but they may not have a Bible. But a bit like a symphony, I can go and listen to a symphony and I may not be able to read the music. But when the symphony is played, I can be in awe. I can be inspired. And I think it's the same. The Bible is like a symphony. When it is lived in the Spirit of Jesus, those who've never read the Bible can be inspired. Yeah? So I think the Bible is something like a symphony. And, you know, thing about musicians, you know, thing about musicians, Heather and Andy, your musicians and Louise as well. Do you know what musicians need to do? Oh, that awful word. Practice. Practice. Do you know that awful word, practice? That's what musicians do. They practice so that, you see, it's possible for a musician to play the notes on the page. B, 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 or whatever it is. But it takes practice to play it as the writer intended. It takes practice. And there's all sorts of nuance within the music. It takes practice to do that. That's why the Bible is like a symphony, I think. We read it and we pray and we practice. And to think that we can just open the Bible and we've got it, I don't think we're treating the Bible seriously, because it takes hard work. It takes hard work. Another thing about playing, I'm sure musicians, if any musicians, you know, if you haven't played your instrument for 6 months and you pick it up and you realise, you know, the expression, you've lost your chops, that's what they say. You're rusty and you have to get back in. And there's a need to practice. Even the best musicians, they practice regularly. So I think that another description, yes, the Bible is like a library, but a library is pretty much useless to anybody unless you get into it. But a symphony can be played. It can be played by those who know it and heard, and it can inspire others. So the Bible, what is it? A library, but it's, I think, more. It's a living thing. It's a symphony to be played. Jesus, when he is confronted by an expert in the law, so we're told in the Bible reading I gave from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're told an expert in the law. So this is somebody who, in our context, we might say somebody who's read the Bible. Somebody, perhaps an academic, a preacher, pastor, a teacher, somebody who knows the Bible back to front. And his question to Jesus is very straightforward. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what's written in the law? And then he says, how do you read it? How do you read it? And I think that's such a great question. And it could be taken in at least three different ways, that question. When Jesus says, how do you read it? If I said to you, of your Bible, how do you read it? Well, you could be saying, I could be asking, how do you read it in practice? How do you read it in practice? What do you actually do when you read the Bible? I could be saying, how do you interpret it? How do you interpret and understand it? Or I could be saying, if I said, how do you read it? I mean, what do you do about it? I think they're all ways to understand the question. How do you read it? How do you read the Bible? How do you read it in practice? How do you interpret it? What do you do about it? So this, how do you read it in practice? And I'll put up, here's six different words. Talk about them for a second. How do you read it in practice? The encouragement for us is to read it regularly. Read it regularly. Now, regular for one person is irregular for another. But how do you read it? Regularly. I found that in my own journey as a Christian. I need to read the Bible regularly. I think sometimes I'm so ill-disciplined, I need to form habits that I automatically do. This is just what I do. Read the Bible every day. Or perhaps we have particular time during a week where we say, well, Friday morning or Wednesday evening or something, I've got time to do it. So I can do it, but it's regular practice. We do it deliberately. We do it deliberately. I don't think anybody's accidentally read the Bible. They may have, but it's unlikely that anybody accidentally reads the Bible. We do it because we choose to do it. Why haven't you read the Bible? Basically, because we've chosen not to. We do it prayerfully because we do want to discern the Spirit of the living Christ as we read it. We don't want to misunderstand and misinterpret it. We do it corporately. And this is the importance of, you know, I can read the Bible at home by myself and that's great. But often I'll have conversations with Sarah about what I'm reading or what she's reading. You come to share in prayer and you talk about, or a Bible study group, and you talk about what you're reading. And that's a corporate understanding. And in that way, we open ourselves up and say, basically, we're saying, help me to understand. Help me to read it well. Questioningly. We come to the Bible asking questions. What does this tell me about God? What does this mean? How might I understand it? Have I got it right? Do I have to change my lifestyle? Do I have to change my politics? Do I have to change whatever? Responsively. We come with that intention that we should respond positively to what we read. Now, I know there are occasions when we will read the Bible as part of our regular practice, and we will read something that jars against us. Maybe you've had that experience where you've read something, particularly perhaps the teaching of Jesus, and you've read it, and you've closed the book and you closed the Bible and said, I don't think so. And you've said that because you realize it's too challenging. And you've had to take your time, and you've had to go back to it. And you have been deeply challenged and stirred by the Spirit, but you've made your response. How do you read it in practice? Derek encouraged us with Bible reading notes earlier, and that's a great way to keep in the habit, being helped to read the Bible. Maybe there is a Bible reading plan that you have, and I encourage you, either ask for one and it can be provided, but encourage you to have a regular practice of reading the Bible. How do you read it? So in practice, how do you read it in terms of how do you interpret it? And this is where we're asking, what is this about that I'm reading? How does this particular passage, it might be an obscure passage in 1 Kings or 2 Chronicles or Lamentations or something. And, you know, to be honest, we're not even sure where to find those books, but they're there somewhere in Ecclesiastes. Perhaps there's a passage somewhere. How does this reveal the love of God? Does my interpretation look and sound like Jesus? How do I read this? What do I take away from this particular passage? That's what we're seeking for, to learn more about Jesus. And while we all want to become more, as we say, Bible literate, more familiar with the Bible, more understanding in terms of what it says and when it was written and who the characters are and all this kind of thing, what we want to do more than anything is be fashioned into the character of Jesus. That's why we read the Bible, is to be end up being more like Jesus. So how do you interpret it? How do we read it? And the expert in the law, when he's questioned by Jesus, well, how do you read it? How do you read it? And do you remember the answer the expert gave? How do you read the law? Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. So the third question I put there, how do you read it? What do you do about it? What do you do about it? Because it's not just about reading it and then going, oh, that's nice. What a lovely, encouraging word I've read today. It's about obeying the command. Sometimes there is a command in the passage, and so we seek to obey the command. Sometimes there's just a general sense, a spirit of what our response should be. And it's not direct, it's not a command to do this, but we seek to follow the Spirit. But in all of this, we are holding to love, because that's what the Scripture is leading us into. So a few thoughts there about the Bible. What is the Bible? Well, the Bible, we could see it as a library. Books that are gathered together. Different types for us to read when it strikes us a good thing to do. But we could see the Bible as a symphony that other people may not read, but in a sense they hear it through us. Through our lifestyle, through our words, through our listening, just who we are, through our character and personalities. They hear the symphony being played and they're inspired and transformed by that. How do you read it?
in practice, the encouragement to read it regularly and in all sorts of other ways. How do we interpret it? Well, we interpret it with care, always wanting to come away with an understanding that makes us more like Jesus. How do you read it? Well, what do we do about it? Well, we want to obey it and follow the Spirit of Christ in all that we do. Let's pray together. Father, today we give thanks for the Bible. Father, in years for many of us of reading the Bible, time after time we have encountered the living Word. We've encountered your Son, the Lord Jesus. We've encountered the Spirit of your Son. We've been challenged and encouraged. We've been inspired. Sometimes we've been shocked and concerned by what we've read. Sometimes we're not sure what to do with what we've read because of the way that it impacts our own thinking and our own perspectives. But Father, thank you for the way that you continue to speak. Father, this week we pray for the Bible societies in the Holy Land. For the Israeli Bible societies, the Palestinian Bible societies, the Arab Israeli Bible societies. We pray for peace. We pray for mercy. We pray that the light of Christ might be revealed powerfully through the Bible and through the lives of the people who live there. May your grace and peace rest upon them as also upon us. In the name of Christ. Amen.